If you ask the average Western Occidental man, hey, what time is it? He'd probably look at his watch and think you meant something about hours, minutes, and seconds in a 12-figured numbered dial. But when God asks you what time it is, and when he said to the people of his own age, oh, you fools and blind, you can tell the signs of the weather, but you do not know the signs of the time, he did not mean hours, minutes, and seconds. He meant centuries and days and millennia and years. This is going to be a teaching sermon today, as I announced to you, and for the next 2 weeks, on the signs of the time, God's people, the Jews. Do you know the signs of the time? What does the woman with the 12 stars and the sun at her head and the moon at her feet mean? What does the woman who is bearing a child mean? What do the seven sheaves mean? What does time, times, and half a time mean? What does seven times punishment mean? If you know those answers, you know your Bible. If you do not, you will learn it today. Because the Jewish people are God's sign to the world of his promises, his punishments, and the beauties and hopes and dreams which he's going to give us through the Jewish people. Fiddler on the Roof is a movie which is very popular about God's chosen people. And today I would study with you so that you too can know the signs of the time. Today we will talk about the Jews in the past, next week about the Jews in the present, and the week following what God will happen and say will occur to the Jews and the whole world in the future. But first, the past. Now, I know a lot of people don't like the past. The past is passé. The now generation turns its back on the past, but you can't. The present only has meaning in terms of the past. Remember when the Pilgrim Fathers came here? What did they call the place? They called it exactly where they were in the past. They called it New England, New Brunswick, New London, New Canaan. They landed in a little island and they called it New York. Defining the present in terms of the past. What do we call our missiles? Atlas, Apollo, Regina, Nike, Hercules. Names of ancient mythological gods and goddesses. Our moon program we call the Apollo program, the old mythological god of the sun. So man determines the needs of the present in terms of the past. And God speaks to people, you and I, and one of the ways that he speaks to us is in dreams. And when you dream, you may be dreaming from God. Or you may be inspired by the devil. Or you may be conjuring up the thoughts and ideas of your own human nature. We have to pray to God to ask exactly where the dream is from. But the Jewish people have an origin in the Bible, a beginning, a middle, and an end, and I'd like to start with the beginning and go right through as quickly as we can. This is going to be a study session because it's important that you know the signs of the times. The first book, Genesis, chapter 3, verse 15. Right away, many of you know what 3:15 is. It's like John 3:16. Genesis 3:15, in the very beginning, when man disobeyed, God said to our first mother, I will put to the devil in verse 15, page 3, I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed, that is the devil, his children, and there are millions of the children of the devil. Just listen to what they say. By your fruits you will know them. Between the devil's seed and the woman's seed. And he, that is the child to be born by a woman, will bruise your head, crush the head of the devil, and you, the devil, shall bruise his heel. You all heard this coming Savior who's going to come, but he's going to crush you. This is called the covenant promise. People hear the covenant, they don't know what it is. That's it. God says to mankind, I'm going to send you a Savior. He's going to destroy evil. Later on, he's going to rule the planet Earth, and so on. And he's going to come to a special line of children called the Holy Seed, the chosen race, the chosen people. One of these chosen people was a man called Noah. And Noah had a son, three sons, and one of Shem, Ham, and Japheth. One of them was called Shem, or as we say in English, Zem. A follower, a child born in the line of Shem, we call a Shemite, for a Semite. A Semite is a son of Shem, the son of Noah, the son of Seth, the son of Adam, the son of God. We all know this, but it doesn't hurt to review it. The Shemites, or Semites, are the stock of the holy seed, not all holy, just like everyone in the church doesn't really love the Lord. But they are the basic root stock of God's chosen people, the children of Shem. Now, the children of Israel, first rather, who is Israel? The Israelites named their nation Israel. Who is Israel? Let's turn to page 28 to get this down, to see the origin of the Hebrew people. On page 28, a man named Jacob, one of the sons of patriarchs, on verse 28, wrestles with God. God became a man, that is God in Christ, and he wrestled with Jacob. And in verse 27, on page 28, and he said to him, that is, Jacob said to the angel, what is your name? And Jacob said, Jacob. Then he, the angel, said, your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. Israel. Now, if you look at that word Israel, Ish is from the word Ish, meaning man. Ra is meaning one who strives. And El is the word God in Hebrew. So Ishvael means man who strives or works with God. So Israel is the other name of Jacob. Jacob and Israel are the same person, named by God. Jacob married and had 12 boys. One of the boys was called Judah. A Jew is 1/12 of Israel. There were 12 boys. Anyone born from Judah was a Jew. But there was also Simeon and Levi and Gad and Issachar and Reuben and Benjamin and Manasseh, as you know. And Zebulun and Naphtali, and Simeon and Levi. There were 12. A Jew is only 1/12 of Israel, but an important part. So now we know where Israel, the name Israel, comes from. It's the name of the father of the Hebrew people. Now, God comes in dreams, and he predicted something that would happen to the Jews in a dream. Look on page Genesis chapter 37. God comes in dreams, so does the devil, so does our human nature. But this was a dream from God. Now look at verse 5 of 37. Joseph had a dream. There were 12 boys, and the youngest one, some might call him a spoiled little brat, I don't know. But his father made a bad thing. He favored the youngest boy, as most parents do, you know. The little one is always the baby of the family. And the youngest, Joseph, had a dream. And he said in his dream, in verse 6, in verse 7, behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and my sheaves stood up, and all of yours bowed down to mine. The brothers didn't like that. And then in verse 9, he had another dream. And before that is, I'd have to explain to you what symbols are to a Hebrew man. In the Bible, in God's word, the husband is the head of the house. The husband is symbolized by the most important aspect of the solar system, the sun. But the husband also depends totally upon his chief advisor, his first mate, the wife. And the wife is symbolized in the Bible as the moon. Children in the Bible are symbolized by stars. If a person said, oh my stars, he meant, oh my kids, they're driving me up a wall. Stars would refer to the children. With that in mind, now you can see the meaning of this dream. Joseph, in verse 9, dreams another dream, and he told it to his brothers. Remember, he had 12 brothers, 11 brothers, he was the 12th. He says, behold, I have dreamed another dream. Behold, the sun, my father, the moon, my mother, and 11 stars, all you, my brothers, were bowing down to me. How would you like to hear that from your brother? Well, they didn't like to hear it either. And verse 10, when he told it to his father and to his brothers, his father rebuked him and said, what's this dream you have dreamed? Israel said, shall I, Israel, and your mother, Rachel, and your brothers bow down to you? And those of you who know your Bibles know that's exactly what happened. Right? Remember? Oh, God, if your people only knew your word and not Merv Griffin. and Johnny Carson and those stars. It would shorten the sermon considerably because I wouldn't have to go to other texts. But it did work out. Look on Genesis 42, verse 6. Years later, Joseph became the ruler of Egypt, second to Pharaoh. And on page 36 at the bottom, now Joseph was governor over the land, and there became a great famine, and Israel and his 11 brothers had to go and get some food. He it was who sold all the people of the land. And verse 6, and Joseph's brothers came and bowed themselves before him with their faces to the ground. Joseph saw his brothers and knew them, but he treated them like strangers and spoke roughly to them. See, the dream came fulfilled. When God gives a dream, it always works out. When the devil does, it never does. Now, here we have then sun, moon, stars all refer to the founders of the Jewish nation. Rachel, Jacob called Israel, and the 12 patriarchs, or the 12 children of Israel, who became the Hebrew nation. Whenever you read that symbol, you know you're talking of the nation. But there's also another symbol that you have to know to understand about the Jewish people, and that's on page 606. Now, we started at the beginning of the Bible. We'll jump now to the middle of the Bible, and then to the end, just to show you that it carries all the way through. In the very beginning, we started with the holy seed that had to be born through the stock of Shem, the Semites, the Shemites. We talked about the sun, the moon, and the stars representing the Hebrew nation. Now another symbol. Isaiah 26, verse 16 to 17. Look at verse 17. Like a woman with child, this is another symbol of the Jewish nation, a woman with child, who writhes, this was written 800 B.C., and cries out in her pangs when she is near her time, so we, that is the Hebrew nation, because of thee, O Lord, were. We were with child. Isaiah knew the promise that a child was going to be born. It's 800 B.C. He expects it to come, but it wouldn't come, nor would it for 800 years. He didn't understand that. We were with child, the nation. We writhe like a woman in labor. We have, as it were, brought forth a child. No, he says wind, emptiness, vanity, futility, no child. We have wrought no deliverance in the earth. The deliverer hasn't come. He says, why? He didn't know. So, we have in the beginning the promise to the Jewish people, the stock of Shem, that a child would be born. The first book of the Bible, remember? Then we went to Joseph's dream about a woman, sun and moon and stars, which referred to the nation. Remember, that's how Jacob took it. Then the analogy of the Jewish nation as a woman. With that in your mind, now you can understand the Jewish nation in the future. Look on page 1079. This is a past and future prophecy all at once. Now you will be able to read it very easily. In the 12th chapter, the Apostle John sees a vision of what will happen before the last great war. Chapter 12 precedes the last great war in the Bible. And John says, behold, I see something strange. He says, I see a woman. And the woman is clothed with the sun, Jacob, Israel, with the moon, his wife, Leah, Rachel, under her feet, and around her head, 12 stars. Do you have it? 12 stars of the children of Israel. All Bible scholars know that this is referring to, and again, the symbol of a woman. She was with child, and she cried out in her pangs of birth and anguish for delivery. This is the state, the nation of the Jewish people of Israel. From the middle, the beginning, the middle in the Bible, any scholar will tell you the same thing. Now, look at verse 5. She brought forth, that is the Jewish nation, brought forth a male child. We all know who that is. Who is to rule the nations. We know who that will be. With a rod of iron, Christ, when he returns. But her child, that is the Jewish nation's child, was caught up to God. That's where Christ is now. See, it all fits. And the woman deserted the child. She fled into the wilderness where God has prepared a place for her, and he's nourishing her. And then this goes on to tell in verse 3, a great red dragon with 10 horns and 7 heads. Christian scholars,
This refers to the future of 10 nations in Western Europe. First there were 6 in 1945. Now there are 7 with Britain. God says there will be 10, but that's the future. We don't have time for that now. We've got to get back to the past about the Jewish nation. You see how that refers to the Jewish nation in the future, how it referred to it in the past. Now, let's go to Leviticus, the third book of the Bible, chapter 26. To understand prophecy, we have to know time, times, and half a time. We have to know what time is, and it doesn't refer to hours, minutes, and seconds, and that's what I'd like to explain to you now, so the prophets will open up when you read them. God said in chapter 26 of Leviticus, page 108, the Israelites are wandering around in Sinai. They haven't yet come into the Holy Land. Now God says, you're going to go in the Holy Land, and I'm going to give you many and great blessings. I'm going to give you everything. Look what he says he's going to give them. He says in verse 3, I'll give you good rain, no floods like we have, beautiful yield from your trees. Verse 5, enough bread, no worry. Verse 6 and 7, no enemies. Oh, golly, if we only had blessings like that. God said all these blessings, but in verse 14, but if you do not listen to me, now they haven't even come into their land yet, but God says, if you do not listen to me and do not my commandments, if you spurn my statutes, what's a statute? If you abhor my ordinances, what's an ordinance? If you do not all my commandments, but you break my covenant, then God said, I'm going to do certain things to you. God said, I am going to punish you. And he says, as you read along there, that he is going to punish his people 7 times. Look in verse 18. And in spite of this, if you will not listen to me, then I will chastise you again 7-fold. The King James uses the word a little more accurately. 7 times for your sin. Now, what's the 7 times punishment?
Well, it's a 7 times punishment.
Yeah. Well, what does that mean? Well, it means he's going to punish him 7 times. Well, what does that mean? Well, 7 times what? Well, I don't know. But do you know that it worked out exactly to the year? If we can figure out what 7 times punishment is. And I'd like now to show you how to figure it out. God said in verse 38 that he would punish Israel if they disobeyed 7 times. Then, he said, he will scatter them all over the world in this chapter. And in verse 40, he said they will, I don't have time to read it all now, but they will confess their iniquities. And in the latter days, in verse 42, he will bring them back into the land. He will remember his covenant with Isaac, and he will remember the land. He said, I'll punish you if you disobey me. I'll spread you all over the world in this chapter. And in the latter days, after 7 times punishment, I'm going to bring the Jews back for the first time in 2,000 years. Now, a lot of the younger people here would not remember things about wandering Jews. But when I was a young boy, we always talked about the wandering Jews. Because everybody knew they would never have a homeland. But you see, times have changed. They're not wandering anymore. They're a sign of the times. Now, what is a time? To find out what a time is, we have to go to the nation that deals with the Jewish people, where we just were, the last book of the Bible, Revelation 12. Here you will figure out what a time is, and then we can find out what 7 times punishment meant. Now, look on Revelation 12, look at verse 6. The woman, that is the future nation of Israel, which has been reborn in our own century, in verse 6, God said, now this refers to her that has not yet occurred. It's a future prophecy. And the woman, that is the nation of Israel, fled into the wilderness, where she has been prepared by God, in which to be nourished for 1,260 days. Count that up in your mind. 1,260 days comes to 3.5 years. In the Bible, a year is composed of 12 months now, just like today, but unlike today, 12 30-day months. It was on a lunar cycle. So a time refers to 1 year of 360, not 65, but 360 days. And every day means something when God gives a number. So you see there, 1,260 days refers to 3.5 years. Now look on the next chapter, on verse 5 at the bottom of the page. And the beast was given a mouth, that refers to the Western European countries, we don't have time for that now, uttering haughty and blasphemous words, and it was allowed to exercise authority for 42 months. Stop and think. What's the similarity between 42 months here and 1,260 days? They're exactly the same. 42 months and 1,260 days come to what? Right. 3.5 years. A time, then, refers to 1 year. Times, plural, 2 years. Half a time refers to half a year. Look at Revelation 12, verse 14, and then you'll be able to figure this out. Revelation chapter 12, verse 14. But the woman, that is the Jewish nation, given two wings, this refers to something, remember, that hasn't happened yet, of the great eagle, when she will fly from the serpent into the wilderness to a place where she will be nourished for a time, 1 year, times 2 years, and half a time. Now, a year and 2 years and half a year comes to 3.5 years. This is what's called in the Bible the tribulation period, or the duration of the last war, as many of you know, I'm sure. Now, do you remember that God said he would punish the Hebrew people, the Jewish people, 7 times? So all you have to do is go 7 times 360 days and you'd have the time of their punishment. But there's only one thing that's missing. When God punishes a person, he punishes a day equaling a year. What? That's how he does it. I only have time to give you one example. Look in the book of Numbers. That's the fourth book of the Old Testament. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, page 127. Now, do you remember, before we get to that verse, when the Hebrew people were ready to conquer Canaan, God said, now look, send out 12 men and spy out the land and come back and tell them how beautiful it is so you can go out and conquer it. Well, the spies went out. It took them 1 month and 10 days. They spied out the whole land. They came back, but they didn't tell the people how to conquer it. They said, we're afraid. Man, we're scared. We can't conquer those people. They got forts. We only have sticks and stones. God doesn't have the strength to let us in. We looked for 40 days in that land, and they won't. We'll never get in. Our children will die if we try to get them in. We'll all be killed. And God said, you're rotten. He said, after you saw me deliver you through the Red Sea, you don't have faith enough to let me get you in the Holy Land. I'm going to punish you. I'm going to punish you in a special way, God said. I'm not going to let you go right in the Holy Land since you don't think I can get you in. And then look what he did. Now we're on page 127. Verse 20, right column. Then the Lord said, he said, verse 26, and the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, how long shall this wicked congregation murmur against me? Now look on verse 34. We're going quickly. God says, according to the number of days in which you spied out the land, God said, okay, it took you 40 days to spy out the land, and I told you to go in and attack it, and you were afraid. Then God says, for every day, a year, I'm going to punish you. You shall bear your iniquity 40 years. After all the miracles I showed you, God said, you still didn't believe that I could bring you in. For 40 days you spied out the land. For 40 years I'm going to punish you until every one of your soldiers are dead and lying in the wilderness, and the children that you were afraid of, those children will go in, but not you, because of your lack of faith. It's given us an example. Don't have a lack of faith, God said. Remember what happened to them.
These were given to us for an example, the Bible says. Okay, a day for a year of punishment. So, if a time is, remember, a time refers to one 360-day year. But, when God says punishment in the prophets, a day equals a year. Now, in your mind, multiply 1 year, which is 360 days, seven times. God said the Jewish people would be punished seven times, and then he would forgive them and bring them back into the land of Israel. Seven times 360 comes out to what? 2,520 years. You know, it's a strange thing, but the Jews became a nation, and they turned from God, and then God said, I'm going to punish you by raising up the king of Babylon. In 604 B.C., the king of Babylon attacked the Jewish nation. In 586 B.C., the Jewish nation collapsed, and the Jews were spread over the whole world. Now, do a little arithmetic. 2,520 years of punishment, seven times, minus 604 B.C., when the punishment started, means the punishment would end of the Jewish people when? If you figure it out in arithmetic, 604 minus 2,520 brings you to 1916, when the punishment of the Jews would end. What happened in 1916? 2,520 years after the Jewish nation fell and was scattered abroad, Lord Balfour, in Parliament in London, stood up and declared the famous Balfour Declaration. Remember? What was that? It was that because of the atrocities that the Jewish people suffered from the Polish people and the pogroms, when 2 million were killed, lest we forget, and Poland was split between Germany at the Oder-Neisse Line and the Soviet Union, Lord Balfour decreed that the British protectorate, that the Jewish people could return to the Holy Land in 1916. How about that? So 2,520 years to the year, the Jewish people returned as a people, but not as a nation. But God predicted that too in the Bible. Turn to page 645, and on this we will end. Isaiah 66, where he refers to the Jewish nation again, like the woman in travail. Page 645, verse 8. Isaiah looks to the future again. We don't have time for the whole chapter, but this is the key verse. Who has heard such a thing? Who has seen such a thing? Shall a land be born in one day? Yeah. Shall a nation be brought forth in one moment? What nation? Well, see, they were defeated when he was writing. He was talking about a future nation. For as soon as Zion was in labor, that is the Jewish nation, she brought forth her sons. Now, that was never fulfilled. When I was in seminary, they laughed at this. They said, this will never happen. You can't get a nation in one day. What happened? What happened in our own day and in our own age? On May 15, 1947, the United Nations approved that Israel, the people who were there in the Holy Land without a nation, could become a nation. In a, 1 year later, General Sir Alan Gordon Cunningham, the last High Commissioner of what was then called, some of you people were a little younger, it used to be called not the Land of Israel, but for 2,000 years it was called the Land of Palestine, meaning the Land of the Philistines. It wasn't. God said it belongs to Israel, and in the latter days it would be called Israel again. Some of you younger children might not know that. But in May 14, 1948, General Sir Alan Gordon Cunningham was the last High Commissioner of a land that was called Palestine. And he left Palestine on May 14, 1948. And let me quote the Encyclopedia Britannica for that year. This is volume 8. Quote, how strange it is that on the same day that General Cunningham left, the Jewish National Council and the General Zionist Council at Tel Aviv proclaimed the establishment of a Jewish state to be effected on one day and to be called Israel, or Land of Jacob, Father of us all. Unquote. How about that? Praise God. Thus saith the Lord, who is like me, predicting the end from the beginning, and from the beginning things not yet done? Surely the Lord your God will do nothing except he first reveal his secrets to his servants, the prophets. Unquote. Oh, if the wise men had only known the prophets, they would have known that in Bethlehem he was born and not in Herod's palace. Christian people, God has his eye upon Israel. And he says, thus says the Lord, the mountains may depart and the hills be removed, but my steadfast love shall never depart from you, children of Israel, and my covenant of peace shall not be removed, says the Lord. And after your seven times punishment, I will bring you back, and a nation in one day shall you become, that the world may know that I, the Lord your God, have said it. That was written in 854 B.C. We have touched now upon the Jews in the past. Next week, we'll talk about them in the present and how the Bible tells us what will happen in the present and the week following in the future. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.